So, 7 days into the fast. Who's fasting? Give me a wave. Fantastic. So many people, not too late. You can join us for a 3-day fast. The next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or 10 days as we build up for our church conference, which is coming Thursday week. Thursday night is our church conference. It's an annual conference. Starts Thursday night, goes, and then it's Friday afternoon, and then Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and then into the Sunday. We get brilliant speakers who come in. But we really gather to connect with God. We gather to meet with Him. Miracles happen. It's like there's this sort of build up out of the fast, and then we've got almost 60 people coming from Melbourne, from our Melbourne location here, hungry for God, desperate, so pumped to meet with the Lord here in our conference. And so we get some stadium seating in. It's a great vibe. It will be our largest conference for many years. So it's going to be really awesome. And I want to encourage you to put some time aside to meet with God and really have an expectation that God is going to visit us and He's going to visit you, give you answers, give you breakthroughs. It's significant. I watched one testimony this week that's been recorded for conference of a young lady who came, been suffering anxiety for years. And during the fast, she said, God, I need to get set free of this anxiety. And she really had faith in her heart that conference was going to be the time. And so she came to conference, and all through the conference until the Sunday night it might have been, or the Saturday night anyway, one of the last moments. And the speaker just said, if you've got anxiety, it's going to get off you tonight. She came forward, had an encounter with God, a radical encounter with God, and has been set free from anxiety. She's testifying. So miracles will happen. If you're desperate, you cry out to God, God will meet you. He will, absolutely. He's going to meet you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to meet you at conference. Absolutely. All right, so day 7 of the fast. Does fasting make us super Christians or what? What's going on? Well, no, it's actually pretty normal. Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, these are the powerful things. Religious people can fast. The Pharisees in Jesus' day fasted twice a week. They knew the scripture backwards, but it didn't make them right with God. It didn't make them full disciples of Jesus. And so there's some more ingredients. We've got to be careful we don't have missing ingredients in our fasting. I remember when I was a young bachelor learning how to cook, I went to a man's place who had me over and a few guys, and we had this beautiful thing that I'd never had called beef stroganoff. I promise I'm not going to talk about food today, but we had beef stroganoff on rice. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm going to make it myself. Went home to make it, cooked the recipe up, rang my mom, how do I make rice, blah, blah, blah. And so I threw the rice into the fry pan before boiling it. And it just was crunchy. I'm like, what's wrong with this rice? It doesn't taste anything at all like what I had at this other guy's house. I missed a step. I missed a part of the phase. I missed an ingredient. And it's possible that you can fast but miss a step, miss an ingredient. And one of the ingredients, now Jesus talked about love and mercy being one of the key ingredients that make us disciples of Christ. But one of the others He talked a lot about was faith. Faith was the, so if you can fast and have no faith, and all you're doing is starving. I mean, communion wasn't, it was powerfully spiritual, but it wasn't all I was hoping for sort of food this morning. Some people are like, no, I'm fasting, but I'm just having communion. A loaf of bread every day and 3 glasses of wine. Like, no, that's not fasting, just to be really clear. No, not sourdough. Faith. Faith is the ingredient, the ingredient that's crucial to the Christian life. Jesus could do no miracles in His hometown, and the reason He said that He couldn't do them was because of unbelief. And unbelief is the absence of faith. No faith the absence of faith is what we call unbelief. Some of Jesus' disciples tried to pray for a young boy who was demonized, he was deaf and he was dumb. A demon would throw him into fires. And they tried to pray for him. They couldn't heal him. They came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus was very clear. It's a faith issue. It's your unbelief. This is not shifting because you don't have faith in your heart. So then he went on and said, this type comes out through prayer and fasting. So the prayer and fasting, one of the byproducts of prayer and fasting should be that we shift unbelief out of our hearts and that we get faith alive in our hearts. So what is faith and how do you get it? It's a good question, isn't it? What is faith and how do you get it? And that's really what I want to dial into this morning over the next 25 minutes or so. There's three types of faith that the Bible talks about. One is saving faith. And that's the gift that God gives us as a gift so that we can put our faith in Jesus Christ and be forgiven of our sin and be born again. That's saving faith. And God gives us a deposit of faith as we hear the word or the message of Christ, the gospel, we hear it and God deposits faith in our heart and we get saved. That's saving faith. Then there's the gift of faith. This is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Bible calls a manifestation of the Spirit. So when you get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of you. And as you pray and stir up and are filled with the Holy Spirit, then He will manifest in different ways in our life. He'll manifest through us through prophecy, and we have the gift of prophecy. Or He'll manifest through the gift of wisdom. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of faith. And that works that we're in an impossible situation. We need something miraculous to happen. And because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, suddenly a surge of faith comes on the inside and the gift of faith comes alive and we pray a prayer and boom, something changes. Why? Because of the gift of faith in our life. And you can get that gift as you ask the Holy Spirit. Some of us got that gift when we were born again and got filled with the Holy Spirit. So it happens easily. For others, it's a gift to go after. That's the gift of faith. But then the third type of faith is where we have faith for answered prayer. Faith for answered prayer. And this is, I like to refer this one to the muscle of faith. And so the muscle, it's something that you have. You've got a muscle, but we've got to grow it. We've got to develop it. We've got to go to work on that faith. And so it's not just a matter of whether we've got it or not. It's something that we develop through Jesus. So what is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 to 2. I meditate on this scripture every morning as part of my prayer life. Before I begin to pray for things in my life that I need answers for, I meditate on this scripture to make sure I'm coming out of a place of faith. And so meditating means just say it over and over. I kind of preach it to myself for about 5 minutes every day, this and a few other faith scriptures. And it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, aka faith, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. How did they get a good testimony? It was by faith. How do you and I get a powerful testimony? It comes by faith. So this is what faith, the first thing it says is faith is a substance. It's tangible. It's concrete. Faith is different to hope. Hope is where, you know, it's one thing to go, I've got a need or a desire or something I'd love to see happen in my life. And so I know God can do it, and I'm hoping He does do it, but that's not faith. I know He can, and I'm hoping He does. That's an early part of where faith begins, but faith actually has a confidence on the inside. It's done. It's done. I know it. I can feel it. I'm not pretending. I'm not acting. I'm not trying to convince everybody else around me, but on the inside, I'm confident because I've got a substance on the inside that I've got the answer to this prayer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it yet, but I'm believing God for it. In fact, it might look impossible in the natural eyes in my circumstances, but there's an evidence on the inside of me that says it doesn't matter what, I'm moving towards that thing. I'm taking steps, I'm taking action, I'm declaring and I'm praising God for it. That's what faith is. Faith is that surge on the inside. It's that confidence in our heart. I love the Amplified Version says this, now faith is the assurance, in brackets, title deed, because that's literally what the Greek word meant, the title deed. So it's like, it's actually mine, I own it. If you were to come and say, I'm giving you a gift, I'm giving you my house, it's mortgage free, you don't have the title deed unless it's debt free. Here's the title deed, I'm giving it to you and I'm going to sign it over to you. Now it's mine. Even if I've never seen the house, it's mine because I've got the title deed, right? Title, it's proof of evidence. Proof of evidence. It's proof of ownership. Faith is proof of ownership. Faith is what you've got on the inside. So then it goes on and says, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. This is in the Amplified Bible. Faith comprehends as a fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I love this. So faith, it's concrete. It's not pretending. It's not hoping. It's not wishing. It's actually confident. It's a feel. When you've got faith about an issue, you can feel it. You're like, this is gonna happen. I know it. I'm not trying to convince myself. So, and then it goes on and says, faith, by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. So faith is the currency of heaven. God is attracted to faith. He loves faith. When someone's praying a prayer in their heart with faith, God just is drawn towards that. It's the currency of heaven. It's the key that unlocks the doors of heaven. That's what faith is. So if that's what faith is, how do we get it? How do we get it? Because you can get it for a moment and it disappears. And so I want to preach to you. And if you want to learn about faith or be re-inspired, I find faith leaks. I find my faith for answered prayer, because that's what we're talking about, faith for answered prayer. I find it gets dinted and damaged, and I've loved this fast personally, because as I've been praying and seeking God, surges of faith for different areas that I'd lost faith for have come back to me. And that's one of the beautiful things about fasting with prayer. So how do we get it? Well, the message I want to preach, the three words are ask, receive, declare. And really they're part of a book by Pastor Phil Pringle called Faith, which I'd say is the signature message of C3 as a global movement over 600 churches. I'd love you to read the book, reread it, go over it, get it into you. It's just such a powerful thing. But this morning I'm picking three really pivotal steps. Ask, receive, declare. Ask, receive, declare. So ask. Jesus taught about prayer, Luke 11:5-9. You're going to have to take my word for it because no scriptures are coming today. But this is from the Bible, I tell you. They are. Are they coming? Oh, there we go. Luke 11:5-9. Then, teaching them more about prayer. There it is. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine's just arrived for a visit and I've got nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake. Get that? Just circle that. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he'll get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Keeps going. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Your friend will answer, not because you're friends. I want to tell somebody today, God will answer not just because he's your father. He'll answer not just because you have a friendship. He'll answer because of your shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. Ask and keep on asking. This is one of the keys of faith. And sometimes I feel like what we do when it comes to a desire that we have or a need that we have, we kind of fall back into this, like I call it floppy Christianity. Like, oh, if it's your will, God. Oh, I don't want to bother you, God. It would be nice if you would. And just like, I don't know if God even answers those prayers anymore. And we get stuck in this floppy Christianity that's not passionate, that's not persistent, that's not shameless, that's not wholehearted. And so God's just like, oh, well, when you're serious, come back again. I've got some way more serious things going on, people with faith who are asking passionately. And so we're going to have a moment at the end of the service where we're going to be able to step outside of passivity into passion and go, come on, do I really want to see an answer in that area of my life? Do I really want to see a breakthrough? Am I going to be annoying to God? Permission for shame. Jesus, that's Jesus teaching how to pray. I want you to be, your, another version of the Bible says, audacious, shameless. Just come to him time and time again. Sometimes I feel like we get into self-protection mode. Like, oh, I don't want to really ask. You know, like a guy's going to ask a girl out. And he's like, oh, if you've got some spare time, you know, if I don't know if you'd be maybe interested at all. Maybe, you know, if it's not too inconvenient, could we have a coffee? And she's like, what? What is that? What she wants to hear is, hey, I really like you, and I'd love to get to know you some more. So can we go out for a coffee? How about Friday night? Are you free? Let's hang out together. It's a boldness. It's an asking. And it's like, the other way is like, oh, what if she says no, I might get hurt? Well, hey, go all in. Just some little dating tips on the side right there. But when it comes to God, sometimes we're like, well, if he doesn't answer, if I put my hope out there and I ask really passionate and it doesn't help, oh, I just protect myself. So we pray safe prayers. Oh, if it's your will, Lord. And you know what? If it's your will, it goes to the junk email. It's just straight away. It doesn't even get there. It's like, God, if it's your, now, that, hear me. Obviously, we're surrendering to the will of God in our lives, okay? God, and so sometimes we're saying, Lord, give me guidance. That's a different prayer. I want to know your will. But there are things in your life that you need provision for. You know are in the promises of God. You'll know they're in the nature of God. So delete the if it's your will and go straight and go, Father, I come boldly in the name of Jesus, and I am asking for you to heal my kid of asthma. I'm asking for you to break through in our finances. I'm asking for whatever it might be. Come boldly and we ask. Boldly and we ask. A number of years ago, I remember we had a visiting speaker on a Sunday night, and he preached about asking. That's the whole message, was about asking. At the end of the service, we had a moment of crying out to God. I remember it because I remember Josh and Shekinah being down the front, crying out to God. There were some tears. And I knew the story. I knew what was happening. And then they shared more later and given me permission to share this story. They've been trying to have a baby for 3 years. The doctor didn't know why they couldn't conceive. They'd had promises from God. And so they got on the altar and just began to cry out desperately to God. And I remember seeing tears in their eyes as they cried out for God. And so Shekinah got a vision of them holding a baby and felt the Lord say, by this time next year, you'll have a baby. That month, they were meant to go and see a fertility specialist, and they found out they were pregnant, and Abby was born by that time next year. By that time next year. Come on. Ask! The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So ask, receive, declare. That's the asking. Maybe it's time to get your ask back on. Got to say that very carefully. Get your ask back on. You guys, I know you're all corrupt, so I'm just going to speak carefully. For those of you who are pure, I apologize for the front row right now. All right. Receive. So when you cry out to God, now here's the thing, you ask until you receive. You ask and you keep on asking and you keep on asking. Passionately, fervently, wholeheartedly to God. It's in the middle of worship and loving God and honoring God, and he's first in your life and surrendering to God, but you keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking, and there'll come a moment where, like in that moment, God answers you supernaturally, and that's your receiving. That's awesome. The receiving in that moment actually was the prophetic picture. And then the reality came out of receiving a prophetic picture. So receiving looks like this. Receiving, when God answers you, he puts a confidence in your heart that what you've been asking for is done. You feel a tick in the spirit. You feel a yes in the spirit. Now, God doesn't always give you a yes when you ask. Sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes he just says, you need to grow some more. Sometimes he says nothing, which is implied, you need to grow some more or wait. Or sometimes he goes, oh, I'm really glad you're talking to me right now because I've got some things I want to challenge you about. And you're like, no, I'm asking for that. And he goes, no, now I've got your attention. So God's going to speak to you. When you ask, you put yourself in the God's going to speak to you zone, but ask. So we ask and then out of that, so we receive. And in the faith journey, particularly, what happens time and time again is, you know, it might take minutes of asking. It might take hours. It might take days. It might take weeks. It might take years. But there comes a moment where suddenly it hits you. Dr. Cho talks about a moment where God spoke to him about running a newspaper in South Korea, and it was costing like $1 million a month or something to run this newspaper. They were running out of money, and he was stressed and up all night and crying out and asking and skipping meals and praying and asking God with tears. So the asking is often with anguish. The asking is often with tears. The asking was often with desperation. And so he's doing this, and he tells a story about one day, suddenly he was driving somewhere with his wife, and the Lord visited him in the car, and he suddenly got a yes, it's done in his spirit, and he just started laughing. Like instantly the stress left because he got a yes from God. And his wife's like, uh-oh, he's just crossed over into crazy land. What's going on? He's like, no, I've got it. God gave me the answer. I received the answer. The answer can look like a number of different things. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, faith, how do we get faith? We ask, and then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. So whenever the Bible talks about the word of God, there's two different Greek words that both translate to the English of word. So one in the Greek is logos, and one in the Greek is rhema. So it's often good to kind of work out what it is. So when the Bible talks about the Logos, like the Bible calls Jesus the Logos. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and His name was Jesus. It goes on and says that. So that the Word is the whole Bible. It's the universal, unchanging, recorded Word of God. It means the whole Bible. But the Rhema is when God breathes on a word and quickens it to you spirit in the spirit in a moment. It's a now word for a now circumstance in a now situation. And so that word rhema, and that's what faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema of God. So faith doesn't, you can build up your knowledge, your understanding of God, the themes of who God is, your depth, your character as you read the whole word of God. But when you need a miracle or you receive an answer from God, He sends it as a breathed word. Now for you, a rhema word from God. It's like if you were to go to a restaurant, and here we go with more food illustrations, but excuse me. If you were to go to a restaurant and you pulled out the menu, the whole menu would be the Logos. But then if the Holy Spirit was the waiter and He came up and said to you, John, I think the lamb shanks are for you today. So bad. Sorry, all right. It's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Back to the illustration point, everybody. The whole menu is the Logos. The quickened word from the Holy Spirit is the Rhema. The shanks would be the Rhema, just for that illustration, all right. So this is what happens as we read the Bible or as the Word of God is preached. As the word of God is preached, there'll be certain things that the Holy Spirit will quicken to one person here. Another person hears another thing quickened from the Holy Spirit. Another person hears another thing quickened from the Holy Spirit. The whole message is part of the truth of God, but it's the words that the Holy Spirit quickens. And that's what produces faith. Faith comes when we hear the word of God, when it's spoken to us here and now. And it's so sometimes it comes like a Bible verse. Remember praying to the Lord saying, God, we owned our first house. It was great. It was a provision of God. It was miraculous. And we're like, oh, we want to move into a different kind of house. This one backs onto a main road. It's kind of quite cold. It's been great for a season. But I remember writing a list saying, Lord, this would be really awesome to have a house that we could have a pool. We were north facing. It was quite like a private area rather than a main road. And so I just brought that prayer to God. And literally, the next morning as I prayed, the Holy Spirit said, have a look in your journal at what you wrote down 2 days ago. I'm like, oh, okay. And I went back into my journal, and the verse that I'd written down, this is why we listen to God every day, because sometimes He brings encouragement, sometimes He brings correction, and sometimes He brings the promise for an answered prayer. And so I went back and I read this verse that said, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. And it was such a, like, oh man, God, I'm praying. I didn't use the word haven, but that's what we're believing you for. Now, I didn't know at that season what was going to come next, but over the next 12 months, my father-in-law suddenly died of a heart attack at the age of 69, Danielle's dad. It was a shock to us. It was a storm for us. We made a decision that we'd have Danielle's mum come and live with us. We began to look for houses that would have granny flats. We couldn't find anything that just wasn't, you know, tacky. And so we kept praying and praying, and we're praying this scripture because it's like, oh God, you're in a storm and you're going to lead us into our desired haven. And so one day a lady, 2 weeks after beginning to look for properties, and we were just discouraged because nothing fits the bill, a lady from our church, a prophetic lady from our church, rings up and says, do you want to know where your house is? I'm like, okay, let's go. And she said, and she described this house in Little Mountain. She described what it looked like. And I realized as she told me about this house, she hadn't seen it. She'd just seen it in the spirit. I realized as she told me, that's a house that we saw with a terrible ad, with a terrible photo. And we kind of weren't going to move to Caloundra anyway at that point because I had an attitude to Caloundra. And so, just be careful what you say no to, everybody. And so we went and I had a look at this ad. We drove there and literally within a month, we owned this house that was exactly perfect for our family, our mother-in-law, the next season of life. And it was, now here's how, faith came by a word from God. Faith can come through a prophetic word. Faith can come through a dream. Faith can come through a God picture while you're praying. And so you're praying, and it's because the Bible says this, visions and dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through His word, but through visions and dreams. We're praying recently that the sale of Rainforest Drive, we're praying with our exec team and ministry directors and board, we're praying that the sale of Rainforest Drive would go unconditional. It had been wobbly, it had taken time and time. And as we prayed, we're just praying passionately for it. We're declaring God's promises. And I just saw a picture of Jesus on the road, waving goodbye to the land, jumping into a car and driving off. And suddenly faith entered my heart. Because that's, oh, we're going to go unconditional. Thank you, Jesus. It was, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That can come through a picture, a dream, a prophecy, a scripture. It's awesome. When you get it, a supernatural confidence hits you. Now, let's move to declare. Ask, receive, declare. So, often when you get a promise from God, it's more like a seed. So the promise, you know, far be it, especially without Pastor Danielle not being here to talk about being pregnant, but bear with me for a moment. When you receive a promise from God, what we often have to do is carry that promise to full term. So just because you've received a promise today doesn't mean it's going to manifest in your circumstances tomorrow. There's often a distance between the receiving the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. And when you receive a promise from God, it's in your heart. You can tell people you're pregnant with a promise from God, but they might look at you a bit weird. But you've received the promise. What we have to do is carry it. We've got to incubate it. We've got to nurture it. And so the way that we do that, because often the first time the devil heard that God's going to answer your request is through that scripture or that promise or that word. And so that's why the devil swoops in on any prophecy. any promise, any word from God. And he swoops in, and Jesus talks about it in the parable of the sower, to try and steal the word, to try and steal the seed before it takes root in our life. That's why anyone who becomes, when someone gets born again, all hell breaks loose because the seed of the gospel has been planted in their heart, and the devil's like, all right, I'm going to give them a perfect job on a Sunday so they get tempted not to go anymore. Or suddenly the old boyfriend or old girlfriend will get back in touch. Hello. Or this perfect opportunity for a job comes up, but it's working all day Sunday. Because the devil's like, I want to steal the seed out of their heart. It happens. Sickness on so often on Sundays for a new Christian is something to bust through and break through. That's why I have a team of people around new Christians supporting them, helping them. So the enemy comes, and often things go worse. We call it a kingdom reversal. God prophesied that you're going to own your own house and you get kicked out of your rental house. God gave you a promise that you're going to break through in health and you feel like you're sicker than ever. God gave you a promise that your prodigal would get saved and they become more of a rat bag than ever. God promised that your family would be restored and suddenly it's more chaotic than it's ever been. Why is that? That's a good sign. That's a sign that you're on the right track. That's a sign that now there's some contention and warfare over the promise from God. And so what have you got to do in that season? Well, it's a gift from God that season, because ultimately faith is a substance of things not yet seen. So it means I'm not dependent on what I see. I'm dependent on what God said. I'm not dependent on the facts. I'm dependent on the promise from God. And it's usually during a season of the opposite, of kingdom reversal, that the Word of God, we really incubate the Word of God. And the number one way we do that is we declare the promise. We speak it. We sing it. We meditate on it. We say, this is what God said. We get up in the morning and we declare the promise of God over our life. We declare the promise of God over our family, whatever it might be. Jesus answered and said to them, this is Mark 11, 22, 23. Let's get the whole band up here. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, she says. Have what in God? Have faith in God. Is this for special pastors? No, it's whoever. Whoever. Whoever says, whoever declares. So once you've got the promise is powerful to speak to mountains, to prophesy to dry bones that they'll come alive. The breakthrough now is in your mouth. The breakthrough now is in your declaration. The breakthrough now, it's not in hoping, it's saying what God has said. If we walk in agreement, we're declaring with God, breakthrough comes. About 6 years ago, after making some outlandish prophetic declarations for our church and land and facilities and future, all hell broke loose in my business. I run a business part-time. I spend a few hours a week on it, maybe. And so it had been successful, prosperous. God had done lots of great things in it. But all hell broke loose. We lost in the next 12 months $100,000, which we didn't have to lose. So it was challenging, to say the least. We did everything we could in the natural. So when the opposite happens, you manage wisely. Made as much cutbacks as we could. Did everything we could. But God gave me a promise. And the promise was a fresh promise. I still had old promises for the business, but he gave me a fresh promise. And it was this: the former things have come to pass. Behold, I do a new thing. And it goes on and it said, I will make a river through the wilderness. I will make streams in the desert. And so I was in the wilderness and I needed a river. A pathway through the wilderness and streams in the desert. I needed a pathway through and I needed streams. And bit by bit, I would just declare that scripture. God, the facts of this, it makes me anxious, but I'm holding on to your promise. because now I'm incubating a seed from God. The facts are this, but I believe you. You've come through before. You're going to come through again. I declare your promise. Come through again. I'll declare it. Now this, over the last three years ago, it really began to shift. So we stopped the bleeding after about a year, then it really began to shift. This last year has been the biggest ever, most profitable year in my business. It's completely turned around. And I know it's come from a promise from God. It comes from the Word of God. And it comes from being declared every day. I declare. I've got about six spheres that I declare promises over. These spheres in my life, my family, myself, the church, business, people I'm praying for, and I declare what God says. Because there's God's word in your mouth is way more powerful than 50,000 of your own words. God's word, God's promise. So we ask, we receive, and we declare, and we grow in our faith bit by bit, bit by bit. Are we good?
Yeah.
All right, can we stand to our feet, church? Can I open the altar just for 5-6 minutes? And this is who I want to open the altar for right now. I want to open the altar for people. Maybe your faith has dipped. You've lost confidence that God's going to answer a prayer. Maybe you haven't really cried out. And today's the day to really cry out to God. Say, God, this is the one thing I want to break through in my life. If you don't have the confidence in your heart today, and particularly if you haven't received a promise from God, maybe it's health, maybe it's family, maybe it's salvations, maybe it's finances, maybe it's anxiety, torment, something that's bugging, but we're just going to come down the altar. We're going to worship. So the altar's this area down the front. And we're going to be loud enough for you to cry out to God and say, God, deliver me from that addiction. God, deliver me from anxiety. God, deliver me from depression. God, deliver my family member from this. Break through for me. We're opening up the altar, whatever the area might be. Why don't we come down? We're going to sing this song. For the rest of us, this is a great song about coming out of a kingdom reversal with a breakthrough. I'm walking out with a testimony. I'm walking out with a new authority. I'm walking out with breakthrough. Come on down the front. Let's ask. Let's go.